Today on the show,
what are our thoughts on the Avery Awards?
What do we think of Worth It? We listen to Worth It on Mike.
What are our thoughts on the Club Snow
series?
We
cover the latest Album 72 spoilers.
All that and more, this time on Adventures and Pinions. Okay, so the Averys came out on September 7th, and on the AdventuresandOdyssey.com page, it said that they were written and produced by Kevin McCreary.
Our man, Kevin McCreary.
So, do you want to talk about how the story in the Averys was written?
Yeah.
What you liked about it?
It was basically like Bob and Jesse were on a vacation in Hawaii, and then Brock, who used to be like the club producer, pulled up on like a dolphin or something, and the dolphins were named Barkley and Ruffles after Kevin McCreary's dogs. And it was like a Narnia reference where he's like the Christmas guy in Narnia bringing them gifts and calls them like the Sons of Adam.
Oh, I didn't catch that reference.
Yeah, and then he gives them underwater recording equipment to record the Averys underwater.
I don't know how that's supposed to work, but they don't either, apparently.
No, Bob was like, if you're wondering how we're doing all of this, don't ask. And then we hear them start giving the nominations and winners for the 2021 Avery Awards.
The first award is to the best actress, and my vote was Keely Marshall as Bridget Perkins in The Protector.
Yeah, I also, I'm not 100% about my votes, but when you put out your blog post, I remember that all of them were like the same as yours, except for maybe one or two, and I remember voting for Bridget because I liked her in The Protector, and I don't like Jules because she's kind of corrupting Buck, and her episodes are kind of dramatic, and she like took over half of that album.
But it's about the acting, not about the character.
Well, I also didn't like the singing as much, which wasn't so much.
Yeah, me neither.
Maybe she did the singing well, but that doesn't mean I liked it.
The winner was Shona Rodman. We already started discussing
Yay!
Her.
Oh, never mind. It seems like the club children who are immature but have a loud voice in the stories that in the way Odyssey goes had their way with most of the Avery results. They don't really think over their
I have this comment on the website pulled up. It's on the 69-70 Avery Awards post, and it says, "Yay! Rydell Revelations won!" With at least 30 exclamation points.
I also read some of those comments, and it was disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah, Buck and Jules deserved it, too. I mean, how can you listen to their duet at the end of California Dreams and not just love them?
It's fine if you don't. I just think it was an amazing performance.
Okay. So, for the next category, it's Best Surprise. And the question on the poll site, the SurveyMonkey, was, who was the best surprise? And my choice was Tasha Forbes suddenly reappears in Odyssey and with connections to Mori and Suzu in The Rydell Revelations.
I think my favorite was in Unrelatable when you found out that the guy was in Connie's house the whole time. That was my favorite episode overall from these two albums. And also, we were kind of spoiled and Michael already knew that it was Tasha, and then I was spoiled that Tasha was coming back before I listened to the episode, so it wasn't as much of a surprise for me.
I feel like that almost made it better for me. I know for a lot of people it spoiled it, but it was just interesting to see, like, people on the AIO wiki were using, like, facial recognition software to match this unknown actress in the picture to one who had once played Tasha.
Yeah, that was cool, but also I don't know if it was... I liked the surprise after I found out that the surprise led nowhere, only to Tasha being there to see the Rydells and then just leaving and telling them not to tell Jason she was there.
Yeah, I wonder what that was about. And that means she knows that Jason is alive, which I guess isn't much of a surprise, but...
Well, I think they only did that to make the Jason super fans, fangirls, not be expecting something to happen between those two that isn't going to, because I think they just brought her back in order to try to make the Rydell revelations better than they were, and I don't expect to hear from her soon.
Mm. Yeah, and Tasha did win that award, and I did put on my post. However, I really liked the twist where Brad / Spencer was in Connie's house and unrelatable.
Yeah.
I liked it, but it was a twist in an episode, and I guess Tasha showing up was too, but it was surprising, but it maybe wasn't, I wouldn't have considered it quite as good of a surprise. I don't know how I was judging what is a good surprise, but I guess because that, if we didn't know about the actress in the picture, then that would have been a complete shock.
Yeah. And then for best actor, we have Robbie Bruce in California Dreams, which once again, we get the, all the kids on the club voicing their flawed opinions and getting them through.
I voted for Atticus Jaffer as Maury Rydell in the Rydell Revelations.
Yeah.
Not because I like where they went with Maury, but because Atticus did a really good job at portraying Maury acting.
Yeah.
Because Maury was acting in the episode, and then Atticus Jaffer was acting that.
Is all of that good?
Yeah, he was a really good actor despite the way they brought that story.
Now, for the best sound design, I have no idea why California Dreams won. I don't remember anything notable about the sound design in that one.
Well, I guess the singing and stuff was... And, like, the concerts,
that
would have required some amount of effort for the sound design.
But it's not as good as Unrelatable, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, Unrelatable, I really liked how they went from the phone to the audio in her house.
Yeah.
That sounded really good.
And you can hear the fire alarm going off in the background, and then you realize that he's in her house.
Yeah, but once again... California Dreams, because it has Jules and Buck, everyone's favorite cute couple on Odyssey.
So it just won because of them, not actually because of the sound design, you think?
Yeah, they're like a voting block that there's really no way to sway their opinion if you put Jules and Buck. Or I'm assuming Jay and Zoe will also be a favorite of theirs in coming years if they continue with that relationship that isn't really a relationship, but they allude to it a lot.
I like that one better because it's always a joke because Zoe's always trying to get away from him.
Yeah, that one's better because it's just like a crush and it's not one manipulating the other to like break into principal's offices and steal cars and
set off fireworks on top of a tower or something.
Yep.
Next is the best scene. My choice for what was the best scene was Wit challenges Mori to tell the whole truth in the Rydell revelations.
Yeah.
Did you put that too?
Yeah, I would agree with that because it was a good scene, even though it was undercut by part three. But
and
if you're taking the scene by itself, it was good.
I think that one actually won the Avery Award, right?
Yeah, it did.
And then next is which episode had the best script. I think we both know what we put on this one.
Yeah, we both put Unrelatable, obviously, because that's the best episode overall for us. There's no real argument
And it's not just the best because of the acting or just the best because of the sound design. It's also really good, a really good script.
But then we have the winner, which is the Rydell Revelations, part 1 through 3. No one saw that one coming.
I guess that's better than California Dreams winning.
Yeah, in a maybe. Either way,
because
it disappoints me.
It was just the third part that was really bad.
Yeah.
And then 7, I think this is a new category that hasn't been on the Avery Awards before, and it's not one of those joke categories like what was the best way David tried to get his children to eat the sandwich. Number 7, what was the best song?
And then we have like all of them except for one are like Jules songs. And 3 of them are different versions of I'm Just Me.
Oh, which version won?
Oh, it was Buck and Jules sing I'm Just Me together on stage. But I think Wilson singing I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day was a lot better because I didn't like the Jules and Buck California episodes really at all. And also, I like the story of that one better along with the old Christmas carol being sung.
I voted for that one just because it was kind of, that was the story of the episode because it was the way that Wilson told the story to Zoe.
Yeah, that episode was a really cool one, how they told that one with the poem and then the his actual story along with it.
Okay, so finally, what was the best overall episode?
Well, we would also both agree on this one being
Unrelatable.
But
yeah,
if the fans had their way, it would be either Rydell or California Dreams, and the Rydell Revelations won out.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
And they did have good sound design and acting in there, and early on the
kind of like the opposite
pretty good
of a Christian movie. A Christian movie doesn't have good acting or a good script. This one had acting, but
and overall an okay script.
Until it was undercut by episode 3.
Yeah, but if you take like a percentage rating for each part and then combine them together and divide by 3, then it would probably rank pretty okay.
Pretty
but
okay.
That's not how most people review the episodes.
Yeah, so overall, how do you feel about the results of the 2021 Avery Awards for Best Kept Secrets and Finding a Way?
Well, this is the first time I've actually written down what I voted for, or I might have done it last time too, but I forgot where I wrote it or something. And so it's the first time I've been able to look back and see how many ones won which I voted for, and it was only one. The Tasha returns in the Rydell Revelations. And you've almost convinced me that the Unrelatable surprise was better by now.
Good, that was my main goal in life, to convince you of that one fact. Yeah, I think it's the main thing we get from this is that there's just a big voting block of younger people who just think Buck and Jules are cute and that Rydell Revelations was a good episode, and they kind of swing the vote, as opposed to the minority of older listeners who give it more thought.
How did you like this Avery Awards episode compared to other ones like the escape room, the elevator, the other beach one with the seagulls?
I haven't. The only one I really remember right now are the elevator and the escape room. And I like the story in this one. I also liked how Kevin played a big role in it, even though it was sometimes a bit annoying with his, like, his weird rhymes and puns that he was, like, saying throughout the whole thing, but it was pretty funny.
And I think this is the only time I know that Kevin McCreary wrote an Avery Awards. He's produced them for over a decade now, probably.
He's produced
the podcasts.
And I think this is the biggest role he's played in it in terms of acting. I know he played the voice in the escape room one.
Yeah.
Until
and he's played himself once, too.
Which one was that?
It was like he and Brock Eastman were in a classroom or something. And one of them was a teacher, a professor or something. I don't remember exactly.
Okay.
That might be the same one as the elevator one. Not sure.
Is that the one where he's like Professor Broccoli or something?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I haven't listened to or watched any of the old ones since I knew who Kevin McCreary was.
And in a recent video one, I think it was 2 years ago, there was the last Avery Awards, and then it was the one before that. It was a video Avery Awards, and Kevin McCreary produced that one too, and he put in a sketch with Josh Taylor and Jordan Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. I just didn't know Kevin McCreary at the time, didn't know how, because I like had seen Blimey Cow, and then I saw them on that and was wondering how they got on the Avery Awards. Should we move on?
Yeah, okay. I just want to read one description of what the Rydell Revelations is. Basically, it is where an actress named Suzu and her brother Mori, M-O-R-I, period, space, new sentence, get into mischief, and there is a lot of mystery in it, exclamation point. At one point, Emily Matthew and Mr. Whitaker, I believe, get trapped in a room with no way out. Definitely one of my favorites.
That's a description of a sacrificial escape.
I know.
Not Rydell Revelations.
is the room they're talking about that water filling room at the end where they fake to fill it with water?
But isn't Emily the only one of them in there? Emily, Suzu, Mado, and Tasha?
Yeah.
So Matthew and
It's not Emily Matthew.
Yeah, yeah. I think
Emily, Matthew, and Mr. Whitaker.
So that would apply more to a sacrificial escape. But the name of this person is Odyssey Fan Smiley Face.
Oh, one more thing. Kevin McCreary's character said that he had voted for Tasha returning as the best surprise. Do you think that means that Kevin McCreary voted for that, or did he just write that in because that's the one that won?
Good question. It could have just been part of the script, or it could have been some that he actually wrote for her, or voted for her. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it could have just been written in to say whichever one wins, I voted for that one.
Yeah, you can always be on the winning side of stuff if you announce your vote afterwards.
So this is a slightly different intro, right?
Yeah, it seems a lot more somber at the beginning.
I see.
It seems like Mr. Whitaker is playing the role that Wilson played in the last couple episodes.
So this is going to be continuing Zoe. Olivia's faith arc.
Your parents.
That makes sense.
Zoe?
Have a seat.
She seems angry.
Rather, people just leave me alone to do that.
Oh, I understand.
But I do believe. Well, it's good that she's at least admitting it. To
help us. Don't leave her alone to that Russian guy, Leonid. Family, teachers.
Now I want you to know that I'm powerful, right? I do. This is going to lead into the imagination station.
To begin with, this is referencing Leonid's question about how if God, was all powerful, why didn't he move the tree?
And the last Imagination Station episode we had was with Olivia.
Yeah, David and Absalom. I like the music here. Ezra is in the Old Testament. Minor prophet. My son,
Ezra. Yeah. He needs to come home with me.
Ezra! How old is he? 20.
Oh. Oh, well, it's...
May I ask why he can't come home by
himself? It could just be a different Ezra.
Just someone named Ezra, not the prophet.
He's blind.
Oh, I'm sorry. For how long?
Since birth. Oh, that's not the prophet Ezra.
What does he look like? I think on the AR wiki it said something about Jesus, so it must be New Testament.
Wow. Oh, I know what Bible story this is.
I think I do too. Anything at all?
Spare a shekel for the blind. It was the man born blind. And
Ezra?
When the disciples asked who sinned, this man or his parents,
your mother's looking for you.
Jesus said that it was so that God's power would be shown.
She seemed worried about you. She just wants
the money. And the title makes sense now, too.
So she'll punish me with her cruel words.
I heard that.
Ah, my precious mother.
Why aren't you where I left you this morning?
I had to move because...
Because you were
searching for the healer. They seem to have a tumultuous relationship.
How much money did you make?
It's in the bowl.
Got him.
They claim to be able to cure every disease. Boils, malaria, leprosy, blindness. They call out, come, come and be healed and bring your money. Healing does not come cheap.
Was malaria a sickness back then?
What else?
That they knew of?
Frauds. Well, I guess it's just the translation with the Imagination Station. And it's based on wit or someone's programming, so.
Describe yourself to me.
Well, I have a red robe.
So now we'll get what Olivia looks like, not from the art.
I have never seen red. Mm. Try again.
Okay. My robe is...
Obviously.
Nothing to hold on to.
How did you do that?
I would be uncomfortable if someone was describing this about me.
It has given me the ability to read and understand people. Why? Did I describe you well?
Really well.
Too well.
Really well.
I didn't know the sunset had a smell.
Perhaps it is my imagination.
I suppose you have to do that with a lot of things.
Yep, it's your imagination.
I certainly do with the things I most want to see.
Like what?
Like the sunset. And I find birds very curious. I do not.
Well, you're blind, so catching one would be difficult.
Have you seen her smile?
No.
Yeah.
I would like to see her smile. I think I will one day. Do not tell mother. But
well, she only met her earlier that day, and all she's done is Jerusalem be grumpy. For a few days.
I would be happy to hear your advice on how to parent a blind 20-year-old. Oh, speak up. Share your wisdom.
Bad for him. For 20 passive years,
aggressive.
Imagine what that's like.
Yeah. Reminds me a little bit when they talk about the parenting.
I know.
Parenting
Ezra?
A blind child reminds me a little bit about
Ezra.
When Zachary, he wasn't blind, but he would get mad at his mother and
Ezra?
They would get mad at each other.
Lydia, look!
When did we learn her name?
I think it's because
she said her name was Lydia early in the episode.
Neither this man nor his parents sinned.
Oh, okay.
But this happened so that the works of God might
here it is. Dave Arnold is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
To say that my son has been born blind,
again.
I never imagined. He's healed.
Why is Olivia surprised? She knows. Wait, Olivia knows that Jesus everywhere. Would heal him.
Is it my imagination, or is it far brighter than it's ever been?
Question about something you said.
That's your imagination.
I don't want... And it appears you've done the same for me.
For me.
The music here is good.
Was that single moment really, really worth 20 years of darkness?
Worth it.
Worth it.
Look over there. She's smiling. Was it worth 20 years?
Hasn't happened before.
So he understands.
Yes. Absolutely.
He understands what facial expressions mean, even though he hasn't seen facial expressions before this?
Evidently. Or that's just a plot hole.
Or he's felt people's faces with his hands or something.
Yeah.
I guess that God
is all of that best for us. Good.
Is,
so are you saying that what's best
like,
for us
that
is
Truth Chronicles episode?
Fair?
Connie says, "What do you mean by good? Is good defined
have you
by?"
Ever thought
yeah.
But it's the only answer I've got. You still look unsure.
Well, your answer isn't good enough, Mr. Whitaker.
Okay, Chris.
It's good to see Olivia back at Wit's End and willing to take a journey in the imagination
yeah,
station.
Yeah, sure.
She's obviously looking for answers.
Yeah, it is.
Ezra couldn't see the sunset, but he smelled it and believed it was there. Knowing that God is making something
what?
Beautiful even when we're not able to see it ourselves. That's faith. So if life is hard or things seem unfair, choose to smell the sunset as you wait to
what?
See God's blessing for you.
Smell the sunset. What?
Family. Worth It was written and directed by Marshall Younger, with sound designed by Christopher D.
Marshall
and
Younger.
Jones. Our executive producer was Dave Arnold. Our cast included Billy Kometz, Claudia
was Dave
Christian,
Arnold, but it's not anymore. And just remember to smell the sunset.
Well, I think it was a good episode, yeah.
I liked the episode.
Yeah, I liked it better than Triple Decker Sunday, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. The main thing is the weird voice in her head.
Yeah, which apparently some people liked. I didn't think that people would really like having that.
Yeah, I know I didn't, but because it just felt strange and brought up questions about whether it was demonic influences or...
And if it was demonic influences, it was so cartoony and it was like he was always making jokes like, "I'll pay you 20 rubles if you say that in your testimony tomorrow."
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't show up in this one. I kind of thought it might be another one with Olivia. And then as I was downloading this episode for this reaction thing, I saw in the description Olivia, the word Olivia, and the word beggar.
Oh.
But Olivia wasn't a spoiler, and beggar wasn't really a spoiler either, because Olivia showed up right at the beginning. And then... I had already seen months before on the AIO wiki something like beggar, I think.
Yeah, I think this was a good episode in the Olivia arc.
Yeah. It was definitely an album episode, not one that they would put in the club.
Yeah, I'm
if they had put this in the club.
Yeah, that's why I don't like the club.
Okay, do you want to talk about The Snow Must Go On?
Yeah. What did you think of that episode?
I liked it, too. I don't know if I would have to say which one I like better between Worth It and The Snow Must Go On. I would probably pick Worth It, but The Snow Must Go On was pretty good, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one I liked more. Both episodes are really good. It's funny because I live in Minnesota, so snow is very prevalent, and this episode is funny because they were, like, stuck in a snowstorm, and one of my favorite things to do during a snowstorm is to go
listen
out and
to
plow.
Adventures in Odyssey.
Go out with our plow truck and plow snow while listening to Adventures in Odyssey.
Off the driveway or something?
Yeah, well, our driveway is like a half mile long, and then there's a gravel road that we also live on and can plow that too. It's pretty fun.
So you probably, whenever you listen to one of those episodes that you listen to, then you you associate those episodes with snow, even if they didn't have snow in them.
Yeah. What did you think about the sleigh?
Oh, I predicted it when he said, this package is really big or something. I was like, oh, sleigh rhymes with tray.
And so they had set that up. The picture. The artwork for the episode.
Yeah. I guess that probably influenced it quite a lot too. But then having the setting up that thing with the aunt who sends gifts that rhyme with their name, that helped you to be able to predict that it would be a sled that they would ride down the hill on. And how did all of them fit on it? How big is this package that was sent?
Well, just look on the album artwork to see how they all fit on it. I'm looking at it right now, and it probably... Well, she said it was bigger than the boys, so I'm guessing over 6 feet long, which still might not give a ton of room, but... Well, yeah, they should be able to all fit on that. Because they're crouched up in the album artwork.
Yeah. But it must have been...
But imagine how many times they could have died just like Mr. Norton when they're, like, dodging fences that they all would have been impaled on and died.
I didn't actually think about that, but that was interesting timing, how they had just had an episode with someone dying going down a ski slope.
Yeah, and then at the end he's like, I would have been able to concentrate if I didn't have all you backseat sledders interrupting me or something.
Yeah. So, who do you think the person who was in the hospital and needed surgery was?
I don't think it was relevant to the episode or that it was an actual character.
Well, there's three more episodes coming from different perspectives of the same Blizzard.
Hmm. Well, then I'm guessing in that case it would be more of a one-off character that they'll just create for this arc, because if it couldn't be an existing Odyssey character, because they wouldn't have someone go through something where they like almost die and then have that inside the club.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was just thinking, what if it's Olivia, but then I realized this is the club, so...
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So, someone said that the way that Kayla could be in all four of the Blizzard episodes, the snow episodes, because she's the meteorologist, and so maybe in the background in each episode, they'll be, like, hearing the weather report.
Yeah, that would be interesting. One thing that confused me was... In at the beginning of the episode, they say something like how she's like doing this thing over the phone or over the internet where she's like giving the weather and saying how they should stay inside and stuff. And then right after that, Mr. Calhoun says how they're off from work, but she clearly just like called into work to give a weather report.
I didn't think about that. I just thought of the part where I just thought of Joseph being off work. And it doesn't make sense.
They didn't
get a doctor from Connellsville to fill in or something if they knew he was the only one who could do some surgeries in the Odyssey Hospital.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just like that much of a specialist in this area that no one else could fill in or something.
Yeah, they did talk about trying to get a helicopter, so maybe they just couldn't. They were going to somehow share a doctor or go between hospitals.
Yeah. Have we heard before that Trey is in the Square One Club?
No, we haven't. We haven't heard from the Square One Club in a long time.
No.
I think it was
The last episode in the club when they did that with like Beezy.
Oh, yes, the go-kart thing.
Yeah, I think that was the last we heard from them.
Yeah, failing to the finish line.
Yeah. It did seem a bit of a stretch that they were like making it with the bike and then to charge the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I was willing to sacrifice that for the sake of the story. And also, wouldn't they have to have an adapter for the phone that would plug into the phone's charging port?
Yeah, I guess they did have one, maybe?
Well, if they did have one, then they just need to plug it into a wall, which they obviously had at the Square One Club to charge all their...
Yeah, and
so
if it was a normal USB port for charging the phone, then they might have had one laying around there, but they specifically put in the iPhone charging sound effect, and iPhones use a really different kind of charger cord, so...
Yeah, that part was interesting. And then it was funny how they were, like, talking about how Wally has a huge plow truck. But where was Wally Hagler? Because in Green Ring Conspiracy, his house was, like, on the same property as the junkyard. Like, he lived right next to it.
Oh, really? I just assumed that, like, he was in the junkyard in every episode.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I thought.
Yeah, I can see that being the case. Ready to get into some album 72 and more upcoming news?
Let's go.
Okay, so we're going to be reading an article from the Odyssey Obsessors, and this one is written by Poolhouse 53. And some of the things we already know about, like Jonathan Crow leaving the AIO team, I think we both already know about that, right?
Yeah, I heard about that. It's kind of sad because he was a really good sound designer, but
yeah,
obviously he's getting older and wanted to retire, so he had a good run while he was doing it.
Okay, so about the AIO Club, I haven't actually read this article, but I just see the AIO Club is mentioned and I saw something about updates. Well, there's apparently a big update coming that will make the website and the club look the same, basically, I think. And then they'll add a few features too, so it'll just a UI update to the website, probably.
Yeah, our exclusive source, Riley Wheeler, has the in with the developer of the AIO app.
Yeah.
And he also gave us this information.
And he'll be sending us screenshots of the new app.
Yeah, that should be interesting because the app has never been that great. If you were buying the club for the app, you wouldn't really have it.
Well, the current app is pretty good. You can add a whole album to the queue. You can change the queue and stuff, and you can download lots more episodes. Hey, it's me from after the recording. I just realized we didn't give the address of the show notes. So the show notes for this episode will be at aioopinions.com/002, where you can find the web extra about the club and links to pretty much every major thing we talked about, as well as maybe some bloopers. And if you want to email us, you can email us questions or anything else you want to tell us to questions@aioopinions.com. Okay, enough going off topic about downloading episodes.
There's going to be a new club exclusive album in the Adventures in Odyssey Club that's released September 29th, 2021. The album will be titled BTV The Collection and will contain all 15 BTV episodes.
Yeah, I don't understand what the point of doing an album like that on the club is. It's not, when they do those club-only albums, it's not really very necessary because you can already get the episodes and they make this whole artwork thing just to release it in the club when you can just search BTV and find all the BTV episodes.
Yeah, I guess it only serves a purpose if you want to listen to all the BTV episodes together and don't want to have to, like, search everyone individually, which could be nice.
If they add the feature of downloading a whole album all at once, then these kinds of things could be useful, these collection albums.
Yeah, the only thing that would make it very appealing to club members if it includes BTV Grace.
Yeah, which... I've only heard a version that was recorded off of the radio or something, so it wasn't super good quality.
I think I heard a good quality one. I haven't listened in a while, but I got the download, like the whole unreleased album download from...
Uh-huh.
And...
Yeah, someone. We both know who it is, but we won't say.
We won't say his or her name because they don't want all the attention asking for the download.
Or to be banned from the club or something.
I don't think he even has a club right now. He's sharing a login with some other person in the club community, last I heard.
Well, there goes some more incriminating evidence.
Yeah. And then there's going to be... Last Chance Detectives book, Terror mm-hmm. from Outer Space, which reminds me of Terror from the Skies, but it yes. will obviously have no relation.
Okay, and for album 72 news, apparently we know some random details about it. In the bonus feature, it was announced that one of the three episodes will be called The Lost One. And this episode will conclude the current One of Three Will Fall story arc. Or, as I call yes. it, Olivia's faith arc.
It won't drag on for 5 years. Like some other story arc we won't mention at this time.
And if it's the last episode in that arc and it's called The Lost One, what do you think that means?
It doesn't really... I don't know if it has any implications either way because... At this time, she's obviously currently lost, so will it end with her being found, or will it end with her staying lost? Could go either way.
But then, yeah, I guess it could.
Another good question is whether or not this will conclude the Parker family, because they said they were phasing out the Parkers, but then they just have this arc with Olivia. So are they still phasing them out, or are they just using this arc as a tool to phase them out?
Yeah, ever since we've heard of that they would be phased out, the only characters we've really heard, I guess, after they started phasing them out were Ava and Olivia. There was Matthew in the Rydell Revelations Part 2, but I think after the Rydell Revelations Part 2 is what I consider when they've been phased out.
Yeah, I don't want to be your sidekick anymore, Emily. According to the Album 70 Q&A podcast, there will be a three-part episode in this album featuring Buck and Jules. No. It's a six-episode album. And half of the episodes, again, are going to be Buck and Jules, just like Album 69. And
the other half will be Olivia, right?
Well, we know one of the episodes will be Olivia. Album 72 will be released in the club in mid-December, which means that we only have, like, 3 months until we get it.
There's two albums that are closer to each other and then two that are further apart every year.
It feels like we just got the other one, which is kind of true, but also I was at camp all summer, so I wasn't listening to all the episodes right away. And I just listened to Worth It Now, which feels like it's really soon.
Yeah, we're recording this September 12th and we just now listened to Worth It. Okay, so thanks to Pool House 53 for that information.
Next week on the show,
we'll be talking about what we don't like about the current releasing schedule of the Adventures in Odyssey Club and how it could be fixed. If you want a teaser of that, there'll be a web extra of a short conversation that I cut out from this episode where we start getting into that. And until next time,
I'm John.
And I'm Jay for Adventures in Opinions.